Chapter 6. Fear Not. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called from its remotest parts, and said to you, You are my servant. I have chosen you, and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 through 10. Fear. This was something that I still struggled with and knew I had to conquer. My fear signaled a certain weakness in my faith, a vulnerability that the enemy was using to exploit and attack me. Although I thought I was hiding it well, my fear was on display for all to see. My wife and the rest of the family knew about my obsession over my son. Although I witnessed miracles and the manifestation of God right before my eyes, for years I still had fear in my heart, and the Lord knew I was struggling with it. Fear of my son led me to become overly attached and protective of him. He started to get special treatment and attention over his siblings. If I was under the impression that he was catching a cold or just had the sniffles, I would frantically squeeze him fresh lemons and make him my special homemade lemonade to boost his immune system. I only did it for him and not for my other children. Don't misunderstand me. I love all my children equally and could never choose one over the other. I would give myself up for all of them. I was just paranoid about my eldest and keeping him healthy due to his history, and that took priority over the rest. Yes, the Lord delivered him and healed him, but I continued to be overly worried about him. You could say I had some battle wounds that didn't completely heal. The smallest thing could be off and I would stay up all night praying over him and wrestling with God. I got to the point where I would get an anxiety attack if the idea came for me to travel away from home for a few days. I couldn't leave his side. He continued to sleep next to me for years. I couldn't even hear or read the word cancer. I would quickly change the radio station or TV channel if an ad was playing about cancer. I wouldn't even say cancer as I referenced it as the C word. I wouldn't entertain any conversation about the subject. I even shielded my son from learning anything about it. One thing I didn't see coming was when he got older, my son asked me what happened to him. A part of me was always hoping that he would forget and that God would wipe it out of his memory. That didn't happen. He remembered everything, even the wall I punched in the emergency room. As the subject would arise, I'd become flustered and uncomfortable and quickly gave him a watered-down version of what actually happened. I even lied to him about it. I didn't want him to even think that he actually went through such a life-threatening and dramatic experience. This fear became amplified when he started to have nosebleeds. I began to panic when the nosebleeds happened several days in a row. I would stay up late at night, pleading with God to stop them and mend whatever was wrong. My real fear was a relapse. The days when my son would go with my wife to his monthly follow-ups at Sloan, I would have a complete anxiety attack until I got the call that his blood work was okay. I refused to go with him to his follow-up appointments. Instead, I had my wife take the trip with our son. I couldn't even go back to the hospital for fear of flashbacks of the events I wanted to so desperately forget. When I got the phone call from my wife with the good news, I would praise God for his finished work. Before that call, I would ask God to bless me with victorious news. You see the problem here? I thanked God for his finished work, but after I got the call confirming his finished work. I should have thanked God for his finished work before I got the call from my wife confirming what I knew to be true deep in my heart. Asking God for a victorious report is fine. However, it depends on the context of your prayer. In my case, the Lord gave me my victory a long time ago. It was finished, and I should have been fearless when I asked him for celebratory news. The problem was that, after all that he had shown and done for me, I still asked in fear. I always believed and had faith more than I ever had. But there was this little fear which transcended doubt into the spiritual realm. This was hard for me to admit to myself, but that was the truth of the matter. This was the window that the enemy used to attack my mind with deceitful thoughts regarding the worst-case scenario, thus creating an illusion of a false reality in order to steal my victory. The enemy wanted to regain territory he'd lost to me, so the weapon of choice for him was fear. When these episodes happened, I would erupt with turmoil within my soul. I became restless. I would pray and cry out to God, begging and pleading for a sign of confirmation that everything was all right. I know I'm painting a picture of myself that's completely different from the previous chapter, but the fear was something I tried hard to hide, although it was very noticeable at times. I was ashamed of it because I went through so much and grew so much in my faith that I should have been freed from the imprisonment of fear. As time progressed, the monthly visits became every 3 months. This was a very good sign, as more confidence grew with the doctors to not check him as often. My anxiety became more at ease with the nosebleeds. I still struggled, but with less paranoia, as his follow-ups would have revealed anything of concern. This temporary relief was from his doctors confirming that he was healthy, not from accepting God's finished work prior to the follow-up. Hence, my fear was a subconscious lack of trust in God. The closer we got to his 3-month follow-up, I would build up on fear again until I got that phone call. The 3 months became every 6 months, and you would think that I would rejoice in the Lord with complete confidence. I rejoiced in God for sure, but the fear was still there, that lack of trust of which I was unaware. Conquering this was more difficult than I had ever imagined, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get over it. This is because I was still unaware that my fear was actually a trust issue with God. The 6-month follow-ups became once a year, and certainly I was at ease. However, when that appointment would come around, my heart would start to fill with anxiety all over again. This continued to happen even after the hospital labeled him as the poster boy. God knew how to remove the fear from me. He also knew I was as stubborn as a bull regarding this weakness. Even though I wanted to lose it, I couldn't shake it off. I started to become more interested in memorizing certain scriptures by heart. I needed to have very quick access to the Word, no matter where I was in the world, to familiarize myself with His verses that spoke truth and promises that couldn't be broken. This was how I tried to help myself get over the fear that's been haunting my soul. One night, as my son was sleeping, I made way to my bedroom where he slept every night and opened the Bible to Psalm 91. I mentioned earlier that this psalm was recited 7 times a day by the Hebrews for protection. Knowing that fact, I needed to know this entire psalm by recollection so I could recite it at any time, no matter what I was doing. I stayed up all night memorizing, line by line, until I could recite the entire psalm without stumbling over a word or having to revert back to the text. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord Jesus, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord Jesus, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up. Lest you dash your foot against a stone, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name Jesus. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him my salvation. This is a very powerful prayer of protection and of promise by God. I took it a step further and added a few things to it. In red, I added the name Jesus, and at the end of verse 14, I would put up my requests and petitions to the Lord because, in the following verse, he promises to answer you. Adding this to my arsenal was extremely helpful, and the more I understood the psalm, I would see the instruction of God within it. In the very first verse, it clearly states that we must stay in the presence of the Lord to remain protected. Keeping in his presence means being fearless. The only fear we should ever have is the fear of the Lord, which brings wisdom and understanding. Other than that, we should never be terrorized by the enemy, especially after God has answered us and set us free. Fear keeps you out of the secret place of the Most High, which leaves you vulnerable. Fear is a liar, and it will rob you of your peace, joy, and the finished work of God. It will also cause physiological changes in your body that could kill you prematurely. Such was the case with me. Again, I remind you, do not be afraid is written 365 times, a reminder for every day of the year to be free from the shackles of fear. Over the years, my anxiety with fear got better, but it was never entirely overcome, as I never fully trusted God. No matter how hard I tried to conceal this weakness, God always knew what was in my heart, because he loved me first. He had a plan to set me free once and for all. I didn't see it coming because I was completely unaware of what he was about to do. A plan that looked evil at first, but worked. A plan that tied together a lot of loose ends. A plan that would further ignite my trust in God.